you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you for the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Dallas to Dover, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show for you. Today, legitimately, is a huge show. Coming up this morning on the program, how about this? In studio today, in studio, NFL future Hall of Famer Ed Reed is going to join us. Ed Reed, safety extraordinaire, legend, all-timer in studio, coming up in 35 minutes from now. Also, we are all over the bracket for you today. Hold off on filling out your bracket until after today's show. And then you can submit to your family, submit to your friends, submit to your office pool. Click on it at cbssports.com. Wait, because we've got two amazing guests this morning. Number one, Super Dave Friedman's going to join us. He is the maven of mid-majors, the Lancelot of low majors, the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, and Super Dave is all over all of the hoops knowledge you had no idea you needed to know. The minutia of the madness coming up with Super Dave Friedman in hour number three. And before that, in hour number two, we've got a woman by the name of Kelly Stewart, who is a professional sports handicapper. And she used to be a model, and she used to be a cocktail waitress, and then she got into gambling, won big, and now she's a professional handicapper. She's going to be in studio with us coming up in hour number two, and so we'll break down the brackets with her, so we are all over it. I am so happy. I really am. Plus, it's a Trash Tuesday, which we'll do our trash is a little over an hour from now. So you are just locked and loaded with us over the next 3 hours. You can't afford to miss any part of today's show. Can't afford to. Too much here. We stuffed everything into this sports radio burrito today. All of it. Now here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. If you've got questions, comments, complaints, concerns, queries, deliver them here, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Can we please begin with Dirk? Has there been a more likable, more humble, more grounded all-timer? Has there ever been a more underpublicized all-timer? You think about Dirk Nowitzki, and Dirk was overshadowed in the beginning of his career and the latter part of his career by two supernovas in NBA history. Dirk's late 90s, early 2000s half of his career overshadowed by Kobe. His late 2000s, early teens years, and now into where we are right now, overshadowed by LeBron. But Dirk did something unbelievable last night. Truly unbelievable. He passed Wilt freaking Chamberlain for points scored. Wilt Chamberlain. That's the same guy for you kids out there that once scored triple digits in a basketball game. That's the guy that once upon a time averaged 50 points a game for a season. Dirk passed that guy last night. Now, this is supposed to be Dirk's swan song. This is supposed to be the final couple of games of his career. He's supposed to retire in April. But I got to tell you, I don't see it. And I'll tell you why. I think Dirk has to come back next year. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Doncic at the top of the arc will drop it to Dirk straight away against Williams. Rise and fire. There it is. A revolutionary passes a revolutionary. 31,420 points in the magnificent career of Dirk Nowitzki.
There were times where I thought I'm not going to make it, you know, the way the season went with the injury and then coming off the injury. It was just super, super slow. And but, you know, the last few weeks felt better, been playing better. And the team obviously kept looking for me, kept telling me to shoot.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Let me give you the list of players who have scored more points than Dirk Nowitzki. That clip courtesy of Mavs Radio. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Karl Malone. Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. Michael Jordan. That's the list of guys who have scored more points in their career than Dirk Nowitzki. So think about that. Dirk had the misfortune of playing in the prime of his career in the middle of two guys above him all time in points scored, Kobe and LeBron. Talk about bad timing. And yet, Dirk Nowitzki has been a NBA MVP over the course of a season. He's been the NBA Finals MVP. He has a championship ring and now has scored more points than everybody in NBA history besides MJ, LeBron, Kobe, the mailman, and Kareem. That's insane. And here's why Dirk has to come back next year. Because the Mavs are going to be one of the most interesting teams in basketball. In the loss last night, Luka Doncic went for 29-13-10. 29-13-10 as he's just lapping the field on Rookie of the Year. I mean, he is so far ahead on this thing, it's laughable. Luka's a rookie, and he's putting up 29-13-10, barely breaking a sweat doing it. They're going to add Kristaps Porzingis, obviously, next season. And they've got max money to offer to a free agent. So let me just give you a hypothetical, okay? Let me just give you a hypothetical lineup for the Dallas Mavericks next year. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Jimmy Butler, Dirk Nowitzki, okay? Swap out Jimmy Butler for Tobias Harris. Pick your free agent to be that's not Kawhi, not Kevin Durant, but a very good free agent that would want to go somewhere and play with a guy like Luka, because you know what? You get your shots when you're playing with Luka. And let me just add this. The Golden State Warriors this offseason will likely lose Kevin Durant. And who knows? Maybe they lose Klay Thompson. Even if they don't, perhaps they'll lose Draymond Green next year. And suddenly the Warriors are no longer the Warriors. And if you're the Mavs, with Luka, Porzingis, and let's say Butler, well, now suddenly you got something cooking in the West. And why would Dirk leave now? He's getting all the accolades, all the attention, and he's having fun. And next year, the team is going to be really interesting. Guys, not only is Dirk not going to leave, he can't leave. I think he's coming back, which is why I think he's been a little sheepish about all the attention he's been getting, like when Doc Rivers stopped the game in L.A. to have the entire arena salute him. I think Dirk's a little sheepish right now because he knows he's not definitely retiring. What a career. What a moment. Dirk Nowitzki has scored more points than Wilt Chamberlain, than Shaq, than Moses Malone, than Hakeem, than Oscar Robertson. That is an amazing career. And what an awesome dude to do it. 855-212-4CBS. The phone number, 855-212-4227. Our Twitter feed, DA on CBS. And that toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tom is in Harrisburg, PA, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, DA. Can I get a beam up, please?
You know, buddy. What's up?
Hey, last year you guys had Death by Salsa for your brackets. What's going on this year? Anything?
Wow. Well, Tom, I wonder if you're bugging our studios. Perhaps you're wiretapping our pre-show meetings, because that exact question reared its very ugly head yesterday. Mraz brought to my attention before yesterday's show that this was 1 year to the day of his suspension from the PGP. 1 year to the day that I had suspended Mraz from the Permission Granted podcast for burping on Side B. It was one of the lowest moments in DA show history, only topped by now, Jacob Wilkins and that disgraceful showing from Las Vegas, the baseball winter meetings. But at that time, Mraz was so out to lunch on the show, on the job and his responsibilities, that he just openly belched on Side B of the PGP in a sign of what can only be considered a huge disrespect to the listeners. And I said, we will not have that. We must have some type of law and order on this show, or else we are nothing. And so I told Mraz, you are suspended for 1 week of the PGP. And on that PGP, we had Super Dave Friedman.
That's 2 weeks.
Join me for the full PGP, full bracket breakdown. Mraz then served his penance and came back better than ever. As we've seen, when I have to do Steinbrenner-esque things, they usually work out well for the show. I try not to do them too often because I realize that message can get lost, but sometimes I have to do them, and that's when the show becomes far better than it usually is. So, Mraz comes back. He's reinstated to the show, but at that time is the women's bracket challenge that we put out there. And that is culminated in Death by Salsa. Whoever loses the women's NCAA tournament bracket challenge has to eat the hot salsa. And that ended up being me and Robbie Rosenhaus. That ends up becoming the kind of the first real iconic moment of Robbie on the show, and the rest obviously is history. Mraz brought this up to me yesterday. I said, are we going to have another bracket challenge? And so we have now kicked around that idea. Mraz, it has been brought to my attention that this is actually the most wide-open women's bracket maybe ever, because UConn, usually the number one overall seed, or at least a number one, is a number two this year. So there's at least four teams better than UConn going into the tournament, which means it's anybody's March Madness.
Look, Baylor's not the number one for a reason. They're going to be damn tough to beat here. I mean, we've watched them all year. Excellent rebounding team. It's just not UConn's year.
We've got Baylor, who's a one seed. I think Mississippi State is a one seed.
Tennessee?
Nope.
They're not good anymore?
No.
DePaul?
Not, definitely not, no.
Huh. I don't know.
Well, we can tell you this.
Uh-huh.
There's four teams not named UConn as a one seed. And so actually this year's Women's March Madness might be one of the most interesting to do a bracket challenge to. We just have to find something that is as humiliating, as embarrassing as Death by Salsa, as dangerous as Death by Salsa. So we're currently kicking around ideas. If you have suggestions, you can tweet them at me, DA on CBS, or dial us up at 855-212-4227. But Mraz, the people are asking for it. I wonder if we shouldn't do another women's bracket challenge just to make sure we don't lose the tradition.
Sure. I mean, look, it's like the Masters, a tradition like no other. So obviously we need to take care of this, but I will say this. No more birdseed Speedos Central Park, and we've done that. So come with some originality if you're coming with ideas.
And so we called it March Madness.
Does that mean no nudity?
No, I mean, I'll run nude down the streets. That's okay. Fine. I mean, right. If I lose, I'm sure Bilotti will do the same. You take one for the team.
Uh-huh.
It's just the bird seed idea, you know?
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're currently kicking this around, but I'm glad that you brought this up. The people want it. 855-212-4227. When we come back, the best audio of the day, including Clay Thompson's thoughts on a current road trip that he hates. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Glitch in the simulation.
And I'm trashing the rooster that wakes me up in the morning. He's coming in my yard. All these chickens keep coming in my yard.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, don't you hate it when chickens keep coming into your yard? Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. 25 minutes past the hour. Listen to the show on any device by going to CBSSportsRadio.com or by watching us at WatchDA.com. Or stream us using the CBS Sports app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. The tournament has officially tipped off, and CBS Sports Network ready to bring you in-depth analysis of the field of 16 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
I'm pretty jazzed for Ed freaking Reed in studio. Yeah. He's the man. Bad man! One of the greatest safeties of all time. One of the greatest safeties and defensive players of his generation. A sure-fire Pro Football Hall of Famer. And Ed Reed's going to join us in studio. In studio! Coming up here in approximately 20 minutes from now. So excited. It's also Trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes, DA on CBS. We'll read through those coming up here on the show. But first, it's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Let's start with Klay Thompson, as the Golden State Warriors have played back-to-back games on the road in San Antonio and Minnesota. Klay Thompson, not a fan, apparently, of these two locations.
It sucks, but what can you do? You can't. You know, people still have a 9-to-5. They got to show up, whether they like it or not. And we do have 3 months off the year, so at the end of the day, it ain't too bad to have to play back-to-back going from Texas to Minnesota. It does suck on your body, but just got to get the proper amount of rest.
Okay, so I thought that perhaps Clay was saying he didn't like the cities, San Antonio and the Twin Cities. He's just talking about the travel in between going from Texas to Minnesota on back-to-back days.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know what, Clay? Sucks to be you, right? I mean, must be nice that that's your gripe. These guys are unbelievable. I'm not saying you don't expend energy playing basketball, because you do. And Klay Thompson's excellent and is usually not a loafer or a dog. But all you do is play a game of basketball, shower, talk a little bit, then get on a plane in sweatpants and a hoodie that's chartered. You're not going through TSA. You're not checking liquids in your bag. You're not taking your wallet out of your pockets and waiting in line. You're not squeezing into some little itty-bitty Greyhound bus in the sky. You're not hoping for the beverage cart to come by or waiting in line to go to the bathroom that's like 2 feet by 1 foot and then landing and dealing with baggage claim and getting into your hotel at 3 a.m. in the morning because there was a long line at the rental car counter and then waking up in the middle of a Red Roof Inn. You are flying charter. There is no security. You have huge seats, luxurious seats, an entire row to yourself. You have it catered, whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to drink. And then you get off of the plane and somebody drives you to your five-star hotel and you get to sleep all day and then get up and somebody else drives you to the arena again. Not exactly a difficult road trip, I'm sorry, Clay. Blah, 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 blah. So hard to the Golden State Warriors. Must be so hard to play with probably the most talented team of all time. Not even breaking a sweat winning championships. Got to be so hard. Make them lose. Please. Please make this team lose. On the Sports Junkies on 106.7, The Fan in D.C., Eric Bickle says that Jay Gruden found out about the signing of Landon Collins the hard way by having it texted to him from a member of the media.
But it's further evidence also that Jay's on the way out, barring a miracle. I'm told he's not being consulted on any of these moves as of Friday. Now, maybe that changed over the weekend, but I'm told he heard about the Landon Collins signing through the media. A guy in the media texted him.
Right.
He's super frustrated. Bruce is calling all the shots. They're not consulting Jay at all. As of Friday, Jay was like, we have so many needs. We need linebackers. We need outside receivers. We have all these things. And they had basically signed a backup quarterback and Landon Collins.
Oh, God. It's so good on Washington is Washington, isn't it? It's just so fun. Owner is a Napoleon complex idiot sitting in his room playing Fortnite. Who do we sign? Oh, okay, great. The GM / president is a guy who's only there because he's best friends with the owner. He's terrible at his job, Bruce Allen. The organization has no communication, no actual direction, no franchise quarterback. Man, they just keep spinning around and around and around, and now they've got a head coach who's finding out about a record deal. This is the most money ever spent at a safety. He's finding out because somebody in the media, like the beat reporter, texted him, hey, what do you think about Landon Collins? And he goes, what do you mean? Well, you guys just signed him. We did. And finally, Russell Wilson joined The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. There's been some rumors out there that perhaps he would want to sign in New York with the Giants because his wife, Sierra, would like to be in New York.
There's a rumor that maybe you could... he may be signing with the New York Giants. I'm just saying, I just heard a rumor about
I'm not sure if the Seahawks... we are in New York, but I'm not sure if the Seahawks are going to let me get away.
Yeah, no.
I love Seattle, and Seattle's a special place. So, yeah, you know, been on to win Super Bowl there, go to two Super Bowls, multiple playoff games and everything else. And
I know, but you're still young. You should go.
Are you bribing me to New York?
No, I'm just saying, dude, travel. Travel's good for... Travel's good for the brain, dude. I think it'd be fun to have you here. You know, if you sign...
I did win a Super Bowl here.
Yeah.
So New York, New Jersey's been good.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway.
How is that show so popular? I mean, that's what passes as an interview? Travel is good for your brain, dude?
They play fun games.
They do play fun games. Jimmy does have fun games. But you'd think that being in the Tonight Show chair, you'd be kind of forced to be a bit of a better interviewer. Like, your interview, that's the hugest part of your job, is interviewing some of the most famous people in the world. And Jimmy really is bad at that.
But T.A., we're one of the most popular shows in the country, and we had a 400-pound man sing Frank Sinatra after making bad college football picks all year.
Fair. That's a point, counterpoint. It's fair. I guess that does say everything, doesn't it? I don't think Russell Wilson is getting out of Seattle. I think the Seahawks have every intention to re-sign him no matter what it costs. But I will say this. I felt this way for a long time. I think it's kind of ridiculous that you've got to try to retain your quarterback and also build a roster when quarterbacks go for like $30 million a year. I mean, some people are saying Russell Wilson could be worth $35 million a year. Now you're going to try to build a team with that as the cornerstone of your salary cap, absorbing all of that cap space. I really feel like quarterback should be exempt from the salary cap. I think you should be able to spend whatever you need to spend market value on quarterbacks. And I know that would be unfair for the NFLPA and the rest of the players, but it just, to me, why are we punishing teams that re-sign the quarterbacks that they drafted? Like, we're punishing the Falcons, we're punishing the Seahawks from being contenders because they need to spend the money, or the Lions of Matthew Stafford, or the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. They did the right thing and drafted the right guy, and now we're punishing them because the cost of that guy is too much. And stop giving me the Tom Brady thing, Brady this, Brady that, Brady this. That's been great, but the Patriots also are playing by a bit of a different set of rules because they get to be grandfathered into the playoffs every single year, no matter who is on their roster or the rest of the chumps. They're great at capology, but they're constantly at a competitive advantage because they don't have to beat anybody in their own division to get a home game in the playoffs. Why are we punishing everybody else that draft well and draft their quarterbacks? When we come back here on the show, future Hall of Famer Ed Reed is going to join us. Ed Reed is going to join us here on the show in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
It's finally great to be a part of the Intergalactic Swag Party.
Commissioner, come aboard.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. You can always watch the show on any device at watchda.com and make sure you listen across our great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our wonderful affiliates. Watchda.com on any device. And all across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, the DA Show, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I'm super excited about our next guest because he is one of the greatest defensive players of all time. He is one of the most devastating safeties that ever took the field of the NFL. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's a College Football Hall of Famer. He's a 9-time Pro Bowler. And he was a member of the greatest college football team ever assembled. Ed Reed joins us this morning on the show. My man, Ed, how we doing? Good morning.
I'm good, brother. How you doing this morning,
I'm doing
man?
Great. You look great. How you doing? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. I appreciate those announcements, man. Not everybody know about College Football Hall of Fame. You know, that's one of the biggest accomplishments that I think I've achieved, you know, and didn't really factor in the numbers of that. You know, three plus million guys are in that went through college. Everybody in the NFL goes through college. Not everybody makes it to that Hall of Fame or even gets that chance. Yeah, man. Feeling good this morning.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I want to talk about that Miami team because everybody focuses on your Ravens career and your Super Bowl win and your NFL career, and for obvious reasons. And it's so awesome that you got into the Hall of Fame, were inducted this year, and this summer is going to be amazing, I'm sure, for you. But I am constantly enchanted by the 2001 Miami Hurricanes team you were on.
Yeah.
Because the talent level was good enough to assemble an NFL Pro Bowl team, not just an NFL team. Mm-hmm. You guys had 17 first rounders. I just want to go over some of the names here. Yeah. 17 first round draft picks on the team.
Yeah.
Your defense included Antrell Roll, Mike Rumpf, DJ Williams, Sean Taylor, yourself, Philip Buchanan, Jonathan Vilma, Vince Wilfork, William Joseph, and Jerome McDougal. Those are all NFL players, most of them Pro Bowl guys.
Yeah.
That was on your college football defense.
Yeah, pretty sick.
When you walked out of the field in college,
mm-hmm.
were you aware of just how stacked that roster was?
I think I was the one person who really knew it. Between my sophomore year and junior year, right, we've had like the most in it first round picks. It's crazy. But the year before that, 2000, we went to the Sugar Bowl. Reggie Wayne, Santana Moss was on that team.
That's right. I didn't even mention the offensive guys.
Yeah. You know, we had some legends the year before that, which, you know, a lot of us talked about that, which team was better, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't mention that 2000 team because we didn't win that national championship. But right. we were really good that year, too. You know, so, hey, man, it was special, man. Being on a team with a bunch of those guys and made the game easy. That's why I went back my senior year. I knew we were loaded. And plus, I went to the University of Miami, not only just to graduate, because I graduated first, and I didn't have much going on my senior year for school. I was just there for football, you know. So I wanted to win a national championship. That's why I went back for my fifth year. You know, I wanted to make sure we put the university back where we were supposed to put it. And that's what we went to school for, you know. So it would have been a sad moment for me to just leave and not have us win a championship, you know.
You guys wrecked shop that year in 2001. The running back stable, just the running back stable.
Yeah.
Willis McGahee,
yeah.
Clinton Portis, yeah. Frank Gore, and Najee Davenport.
And Jared Payton.
And Jared Payton, Walter yeah. Payton's son.
Yeah.
Those were your running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just totally yeah. insane to think about. You were on the most talented college football team ever assembled.
We had another guy. He actually played receiver and running back also. His name was Jason Gathers. He was another talent at running back. That coach just, like, you know, put a guy in there, man. Yeah.
How you get reps in the middle of that depth chart?
You don't get hurt is the question. You better not get hurt or get tired. Because we get off the field, those guys didn't want to come off, and that was our mentality. Like, guys did not want to come off the football field because they know who was behind them, which is crazy. You know, you get hurt, you get tired. Somebody else runs off on the field. They didn't want to come off.
So, the tight ends were Kellen Winslow and Jeremy Shockey. Those were the tight ends. Again, how do you get reps on a team
crazy.
Like this? Did you
crazy.
Just walk onto the field against teams like Boston College or Rutgers, the old Big East, and just go, well, we're going to win by 50 today?
Well, Boston College played us close.
Played them tough.
Always,
yeah.
Especially because it was up there when it
right.
was cold.
Right.
You know, we Miami guys at the time. You know, you can't simulate that, you know. But there are some teams we knew we were going to crush, like Washington. Because we lost that year before, we just had a chip on our shoulder, and they just got the bad end of that. You know, I don't even think they played us since or even want to play us since then.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, when I walked around the University of Miami, we have the plaques of all the old seasons.
Yeah.
So I knew how to win a championship. It was just being engraved in my mind. Because you look at those scores, the defense, we didn't give up. Defense did not give up. Points.
Nope.
You know, so, and that's how you win championships, man.
Amazing. Ed Reed joins us in studio this morning. So on Thursday, the NFL announced tickets for 100 years. First of a kind fan contest that offers season tickets to a winning fan's preferred NFL team, your favorite team for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL's popularity, as everybody knows, generated by fandom generation to generation. And yeah. you grew up in New Orleans, well, yeah. around Louisiana, New yeah. Orleans.
Sportsman and, State.
Yeah, and at that time, though, I mean, the Saints had been bad from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s.
Bags on the head.
He ain't.
I remember that.
And yet, through all of that, yeah. man, Saints fans are loyal. They are diehard.
No
it is
doubt.
An incredible state for fandom and for the Saints. And so
yes.
you saw this up close and personal, that bond that the NFL has from yeah. generations, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, for me, I grew up at the park. You know, obviously grew up watching the Saints in San Francisco back in the day when the divisions and conferences were different.
Yeah.
You know, so I grew up a Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice fan and all that. And we used to emulate it. You know, kids still emulate the NFL players, still emulate guys that they see. You know, so players, you are role models, man. Know somebody's looking up to you. You know, but that's what it's about. You know, those times at the park with your family, you know, going to the games with your family, you know, spending that time with your family watching football on Sundays. You know, I still spend time with my son. Obviously, he's 10. You know, on Sundays, we watching games now, you know, because I'm home. I'm not playing, so I can make some nachos, and he and I watch the game, you know, unless he want to go out and shoot basketball. But that was about, you know, it's about the fans. You know, I played this game the way I did partly is because of the fan support, you know, good or bad. You know, you wanted to go in Pittsburgh and perform in front of their fans. You know, you didn't want them to like you. You know, you wanted them to respect you, you know, as – when I see Pittsburgh Steelers fans now, he'd be like, man, I didn't like your team, but you was a hell of a player. You know, so that's what it's about. Just that appreciation back to the fan, you know, and it'll be two tickets that fan can win, and they can pass it down, you know, because I don't know, too many of us living past 100, you know, but it's out there. You know, God welcomes it, you know, so you could pass it down to a family member. All you got to do is show your like you say, your fandom, how much you appreciate the game, and just go wild with it on Twitter and Instagram, you know, tag hashtag NFL100 contest, you know, and just have fun with it, you know, and may the best person win.
Tickets for 100 years to your favorite team. Go to NFL.com/100. That's NFL.com/100 to enter. The winner will be announced on stage of the NFL draft coming up here next month.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You get to be drafted on draft day.
That's right.
Get to experience that. That's pretty nice.
You got to experience that Steeler-Raven rivalry at its height, at its peak.
Yeah.
I would say 2005 through 2010, 2012, it was just the most vicious rivalry in the NFL, and it really felt old school. It felt like it was cut from a different era, the 70s, the 80s, when guys really disliked one another.
Yeah.
What was it like playing in that rivalry, knowing that no other game that you had on the schedule matched the Pittsburgh games?
I really didn't like those guys. No, but man, it was, it was the best, man. It was the best because you always want to play against the best. You know, I grew up watching Michael Jordan and those guys compete, Magic Johnson, you know, some of the great players of back in the day, you know, with the Jerry Rices and the old Pittsburgh teams and Cowboys, San Francisco, Deion Sanders, and how they competed. You know, that was what we still had. We still kind of had some of that old school football rules in place.
True.
You know, so you could still play football. You know, that's one thing Ray and I always said throughout my whole career being there with him was that it's just football. You know, football has been made to be played a certain way. You know, that's what makes games games. You know, you play it with these rules, you know, that they put in place. Obviously, they've been implementing rules every year, though, to change things. You know, this is not the government, so to say. The government, you would think the government would implement more rules and stuff like that, you know, to kind of help things out. You know, but it's actually vice versa. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, man, you know, it's just the rules that's, I think, affecting the game, slowing it down more when it was the information that we needed, you know, to better the game, you know, as far as the physicality that players are putting towards themselves. You know, it's not so much about the money. Money gonna come and go. You know, all we have is our relationships and with people, truly. You know, the money part of it is going to go. All of us are going to lose that. None of us are going to take that with us. But we have is our physical health, you know. So I think that's the way we need to be going with it, just to take care of players after football and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, that's a really well put sentiment on everything happening in football right now. Once again, I mean, this is just such a cool contest. 100 years of tickets for a full century that you can hand down through your family. So NFL.com/100 is where you can do so. NFL/100. And you will be on stage if you win this at the NFL draft and get tickets for 100 years. So that's not a bad thing. I wish we could do this for another couple of hours, Ed, because you're one of my favorite players that I ever watched. And man, so I appreciate you stopping by and spending some
time.
I'm
for hire, man.
Oh, yes, right. Is that right?
I come in weekly, whatever you need. Let
I don't
me know
what our budget is, but I'll run it by.
We work that out.
Okay.
We work that out. I'm not hard, man.
I'll get your coffee and your newspaper. And not so that'll
hard.
Be the first part of it, okay?
Not hard. You don't even have to do that. I picked that up myself, man.
This is awesome, dude. Thanks so much.
No problem, brother.
Ed Reed joining us this morning on the show in studio. When we come back, Zion, the most interesting part of the tournament. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.